We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. And pray that you open the meaning to us and reveal the treasures which are in it, as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the life of David, Nabal died. The verses this morning are 1 Samuel 25, verses 36 to 38. There was a famous historian one time who was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him to define history. And his answer was, history is just one damn thing after the other. Well, there's some truth to that, except there's another part to the story. He said it was a picture of one failure after the other. And that part of it's true, but there is one exception. And so the center of all history is the man Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he represents two different views. Number one, there are those who believe in him and love him. And the opposite side, there are those who don't believe in him and have a deep hatred for him. And for the ones that believe in him, all things work together for good, even in this world. For the unbelievers, on the opposite extreme, God is angry with the wicked every day. So I'd read through the text here and then go back and make some applications from it. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Abel, that he died. So we're going to read a verse from Proverbs. It's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 31, with this reminder that the Bible is our book, not the book of the devil and his wicked ones. It belongs to us, and the promises in it belong to us and have nothing to do with the children of the devil and all the wicked ones. So Proverbs 11, verse 31 says this, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. So there's something very special about this proverb. Of all the proverbs that were written, this is the only one that begins with the word behold. And that sets it forth something that's extremely important. Reading it through one more time, behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. So this proverb is kind of a description of what we've been looking at so far in the life of David. Number one, it looked like the wicked were triumphing. Number two, the righteous were being oppressed. Number three, the godly Abigail, wife of the fool Nabal, befriended righteous David. Number four, God's judgment falls heavily upon Nabal. And five, righteous David is rewarded. So this here indicates something very important. And as we've indicated so often, this is your story and mine. David is a blessed type of all of God's children. Nabal here is a type of the children of the devil. The truths that we have to remember are these. Number one, the Almighty God controls everything that happens. Hardly anybody believes this anymore, but that doesn't change. And number two, God is especially concerned with his own elect children. And number three, God punishes the wicked ones sooner or later. Okay, probably every child of God believes that there's a day of judgment coming. A day when God is going to open all the books, and everyone has a book about him, and God will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. But that's looking for that final day of judgment, which is a curtain call. But very few believe that God starts doing that in life on this earth. Read carefully Proverbs 11:31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. So it is true that the final judgment day is going to be a combination of everything. It's all put together. But it's also true that God is blessing his own children in the earth, and he's judging the heathen in the earth. This is happening right now. It's happening in your life, and it's happening in mine. And you know, it's impossible, really, to read very much of Scripture without coming to this truth that it's happening in individuals, families, and sometimes even nations. A few examples. Cain murdered Abel. What happened? God gave him a situation where he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And this is before the final day. Right here on this earth, that's what Abel said, or Cain said, rather. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Number two, Noah was a just man, but he and his family were saved from the flood. And the flood destroyed the wicked people. And that was before the final judgment day, remember. It happens on or in the earth. That's what Proverbs says, in the earth, now, in this life. Pharaoh persecuted the Hebrews, but he drowned trying to cross the Red Sea. And that was before the final judgment day. It happened in this earth. Number four, Saul sought to kill David, but Saul himself fell in battle against the Philistines. And that happened in the earth before the final judgment. So Psalm 58, verse 11 says this, so that a man may say, verily there is a reward for the righteous, verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. So Let's remember that. We don't have to wait until the final judgment day to see the truth that God blesses his own and he curses the enemy. We don't have to wait till then. That's going to be the grand finale. And we're looking forward to that. But it's happening also before that great last day. So the text that we're looking at, so this is right after David and his men, 400 of them, were closing in for the kill, and Abigail stopped them, stopped David from committing a terrible sin. And the text begins this way. Abigail came to Nabal. And behold, he held a feast in his house. Death was coming closer and closer and closer, and he was fully unaware of it. And he was having a party. The money was coming in. The sheep were being shorn, and money was coming in. He's healthy, wealthy, and he thought he was wise, and he's living the good life. And he had a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him. He was having a good time. And he got drunk. He drank a little too much. And so therefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. So the point here is one of the children of the devil that had just sinned greatly against David and his men, and he was having a feast. He was living the good life. He was completely unaware of what was going to happen the next day. False security. And that's a characteristic of the children of the devil. They live for this life and couldn't care less about any life in the afterlife. Jacob got his birthright sold to him by Esau, because Esau was hungry and Jacob offered him a can of pottage if he would give up the birthright. And Esau's explanation was, well, if I die, the birthright isn't going to do me any good. I'll be dead. There's no afterlife. So I'll sell it and live the good life while I can. Didn't believe there was an afterlife. And that's the way the children of the devil are. They're living for this life most of all, and that's it. The rich farmer. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build bigger ones, and I'll stash them up, and I'll live the good life because I can retire. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This night. But we see the false idea of everything's going well. You look at the temple in Jerusalem. The people there were living a high life after they crucified Christ. But it didn't last. But for a while it did. The money changers came back in, and it was business as usual. 40 years later, the Romans came in and destroyed everything. False security. You all know the story of the destruction of Troy. The Greeks couldn't take it from the outside, but they could from the inside. The story of the Trojan horse. So Nabal passed the night, woke up in the morning. Probably wasn't feeling the best, but at least he could understand things. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. So, Abigail didn't have to rebuke her husband. His own conscience did that. But now he's got a heart of stone. He's not dead yet, but his heart is a heart of stone. And in Proverbs 14, verse 12, we read this. 12 and 13, remember this one. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now listen to this verse. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. It sometimes looks like the children of the devil are doing so well here on this earth. But if we could look into their heart, which the Holy Spirit does, and he tells us this, when they're in the middle of the best they've got, and they're laughing and having a good time, the heart is sorrowful. And the end of that mirth is heaviness. We would not know that unless the Holy Spirit told us. This is God's judgment against the children of the devil even before the final day. And if we could look into the heart, we'd find out what the Holy Spirit told us. Yeah, they're happy, they're laughing, they look like they're having a good time. But that's only outward. Inside, they're mourning. They're having problems. And this is in this life, on this earth. So we look at Job chapter 41, and he talks about Leviathan, which was the most fearful being on the face of the earth. And in Job 41, 23 and 24, we read this: the flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. And the next verse says, his heart is as firm as a stone. Yea, his heart is as a piece of nether millstone. Well, his heart was turned to stone also. That's part of God's judgment. And remember, God always looks at the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So then, so Nabal was given a heart of stone, which doesn't sound like a very pleasant experience. And then the last verse of our text, verse 38, it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Abel that he died. So there's a passage of time about 10 days. What happened during those about 10 days? What were the last 10 days of Naboth's life really like? And we don't know for sure. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us a whole lot about it in this particular text. But the cupboard is not completely bare either. There's a children of God and a child of God, and there's a child of the devil. So let's look at the final days in the life of a child of God. And since we're studying the life of David, let's look at what happened in the final days of David, because he died. Every single one of us is going to die unless Jesus Christ comes back first. Well, some of us are still yet alive, and that could happen. It could happen today. We don't know. It's close. But normally, we're all going to die. The question is, how do you do it? And again, there are two ways, as far apart as heaven and hell. You either die as a child of God, or you die as a child of the devil. And there's no other choice. Those are the two things. The Bible is a book of contrasts, and they're all greatly contrast between heaven and hell, Jesus and the devil, and there's no little things in between. It's one or the other. And so, like, unless Christ comes back first, we're all going to die. There is a set time. That's comforting. God has set the time. It's not going to be haphazard. We're not in the middle of a free-for-all. It's all under control. And so the Father's going to send his Son back into the world at the set time, not like he did the first time, to come and suffer and die, but this time in power, might, and glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his kingdom is not going to ever have an end. So it's not a failure. All the other things were failures. That's what history is, a book of failures, except one. And this king has a kingdom that's going to last forever. So the set time, David was under the guidance of the Holy Spirit when he wrote the beautiful Psalm 23, which is probably the most well-known chapter in the whole Bible. And he tells us this. Now, this is David, remember. This is your story and mine. And in verse 4, he says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So, that's the way you and I are going to die. The first thing we notice about what David says, though I walk, we're going to walk. We're not going to be run like we're being chased and we're fearful of something. We're going to walk, a very calm walk. We're going to walk through the valley, not into the valley, and that's it. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's the shadow of death for us. There's death there, but we're in the shadow of it. And a shadow can't harm us. A shadow never harmed anybody. And so David is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he fears no evil. We're not afraid. This is a very pleasant hike that we're having with Jesus Christ at our side. For thou art with me. So that's the death of the child of God. And that's where the child of the devil, Nabal, is right now. He's walking. He hasn't died yet. But he's walking there. He's in the final steps of his life. And this is the other way. He represents the child of the wicked one. And the context is so important. Remember this. Nabal had just lived one of the happiest days of his life. His workers were shearing his sheep, all 3,000 of them, and the money was coming in. And he made a feast like a king, living it really as high as he possibly could. Probably the best day of his life. His heart was merry. He was drunk. But it didn't last. It didn't last. And the fact of the matter is that God is angry with the wicked every day. all things work together for good to them that love God. Every single thing that happens in the life of God's elect is a blessing. Even the sufferings that we go through, there are tremendous blessings in these things. They all work for good. The opposite side is everything works for evil against the children of the devil. How would you like to have that for your comfort, for the meaning of your life? When Abraham died, the Bible says that God had blessed Abraham in all things. In all things. And for the devil and his wicked ones, it is all evil in all things. That's it. So, it didn't last. It came to pass 10 days after that the Lord smote Abel, then he died. So now he's getting into the final judgment. So there's a Psalm 7 verse 11 tells us this. Remember this. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. And this is before the final judgment day. This is when we're walking through life on this earth. And God is blessing us every single day, and he's angry with the wicked every single day. And that's before the final judgment day. So, okay, so we know how David approached death. And this gives us, by looking at the contrast of how Nabal must have fared. We know this. David was a child of God, so are you and I. Nabal was a child of the devil. Contrast. Another contrast. The father loves his son. The father hates the devil and his wicked ones. Contrasts, stark contrasts. Oh, important, everyone. The father loves the bride of his son. The father hates the children of the devil. The children of God die one way. The children of the devil die another way. So, okay, we don't know all the final details, but the cupboard is not bare. We walk. They are scared half to death, probably running in fright. We walk through the valley. They walk into the valley, and they never come out. We walk through the shadow of death. They meet eternal death itself. We fear no evil. They live in feel in evil. And it terminates at the final judgment. We are walking with our Savior. Thou art with me. When they see Jesus, he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed. There is more. But the Holy Spirit gives us the picture. And let's remember this. And the two final thoughts, Romans 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And number two, Hebrews 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.